ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
संयतेन्द्रियः ज्ञानं लब्ध्वा परां शान्तिम् अचरेणाधिगच्छति। ट्रान्स्लेशन्, somebody can read loudly.
A faithful man who is dedicated to transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses is eligible to achieve such knowledge, and having achieved it, he quickly attains the supreme spiritual peace.
अज्ञश्चाश्रद्दधानश्च संशयात्मा विनश्यति। नायं लोकोऽस्ति न परो न सुखं संशयात्मनः। ट्रान्स्लेशन्,
for the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next.
Yeah. These two slokas are, I'm talking about a faithful devotee and a faithless person. So, in the last chapter also we were discussing, yene matamidam sarvam anutishtanti manavaha adhavanto anusuyanto muchyante iteti karvandihi. So, Dad Krishna said, yene matamidam nityam. These are my opinions, my dear Arjuna. Those who hear this opinions of mine with great faith and without any envy, such people can become delivered and return back to the kingdom of God. And then he subsequently said, He tve tadabhya suryanto nana tishtanti me matam sarva jnana vimudam san vidyana shtana chetasa. On the other hand, Krishna said, those out of envy who disregard his teachings and do not follow them are to be considered bereft of all knowledge, befooled and ruined in their endeavors for perfection. So in Bhagavad Gita, in various places we will be reading, although Lord is giving instruction one after another, he is constantly reminding Arjuna that those who follow this instruction, they will achieve the highest goal of life. Those who do not follow, they will fall down. So this is the duty of a spiritual master, to instruct disciple about what will bring forth spiritual prosperity in his life, what will help one to advance in his spiritual life. And the spiritual master also should constantly warn what will make a person fall down. So both are important. So essentially Krishna is talking of the faith that one needs to have in these teachings. If one has complete faith in this transcendental knowledge, then one can easily subdue one's senses. Although many people approach Krishna, not all of them have the same degree of faith. I gave a clue about this in the previous class, that we understand many things but we don't accept them, isn't it? That was a prelude to this shloka. We may understand many things, we may have the intelligence to understand, but we don't put complete faith in them. That is why there are three categories, Kanishta, Madhyama and Uttama Adhikari. Some other time we can discuss very elaborately about these three categories, but now we will understand their level with respect to this one quality of faith. How much faith do they have? So a neophyte devotee or a Kanishta Adhikari, his faith is very, very bleak. And although he may be chanting the holy names, he has come to Krishna consciousness for some ulterior purpose. He has not come actually to do bhakti for Krishna. Due to this, there are constantly some sense gratificatory desires lurking in his mind, and he may be superficially rendering some service. And because these desires are lurking in his mind, and because he doesn't have sufficient faith in Krishna, there is a great chance of his falling away. So he may remain in devotional service with devotees for some time, and afterwards he may fall away. So many people come to Krishna for various reasons. Somebody may come to ISKCON, Because somebody must have told him, you can go to America if you come to ISKCON. It's a foreign chance. Or somebody must have told him, you can marry an American girl. Or somebody must have told him that outside jobs are so difficult to get. But in ISKCON, if you join, you can get easy. It's an easy way of life. So some people come to ISKCON because it's an easy way of life. So people come to Krishna for various reasons and for many ulterior motives. Even in the time of Sri Prabhupada, some people entered our organization as if they were Krishna's devotees, and they collected many memberships and money and things like that, and they took the money and ran away. 15-20 lakhs they would accumulate and they would run away. So in this way, somebody may come with some ulterior motive, or he may have little faith, very very tiny faith, which can be easily uprooted by association with an atheist. So this faith is very very small faith. On the other hand, he may not be well versed with the scriptures. Although he knows the scriptures, he may not be very competent to defeat the opponent with scriptural knowledge. But his faith is very deep rooted. The faith of a Madhyamadhikari is very very deep. Even if he is defeated in argument, still he will not give up his service to Krishna. He will always remain in the association of devotees. Automatically, it's an inbuilt faith that he has, this kind of Madhyamadhikari, in that particular stage. Because he knows the best course of action in my life is to be Krishna's servant. He is convinced about this fact. So even if an atheist defeats him, Madhyamadhikari will say, okay, you have defeated me, now we can carry on. He will not worry about that. He will continue his service to Krishna. And Uttamadhikari, or the first class devotee, is one who has complete faith in Krishna, and he can defeat anybody in argument based on scriptural knowledge. So in this way, one has to ultimately become a Uttamadhikari to have a deep faith in Krishna. So by regularly reciting Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures, and by faithfully executing devotional service, all of us can come to that stage of having complete faith in Krishna and executing Krishna consciousness in full sight. That is very essential. Then the progress will be very very rapid. What is faith? How can you define faith? Anybody can say? Yes. Have you fallen in your life? Anybody else?
Accepting the laws of God without any doubt,
yeah. That's such a good point.
It doesn't change. Unflinching trust in something sublime.
Prabhupada defines this in 2.41. Unflinching faith in something sublime. Actually, faith is more elaborately explained that if one understands this statement, abandon all varieties of religion and simply surrender unto me, I will deliver you from all different types of sins. Do not fear. If one has complete faith in this statement, then that is called faith. Of course, we can define faith in so many ways. Sri Prabhupada says in one particular place that this is actual meaning of faith. There is a shloka in Chaitanya Charitamrita also. Shraddha Shraddha Vishwasaka hai Sudrida Nishchai Krishna Bhakti Kaila Sarva Karma Krita hai. There he says that the meaning of the word Shraddha is the unflinching trust in the Supreme Lord. That by simply chanting the Lord's name and rendering service to Him, all that I want to accomplish in my life will be fulfilled. I do not have to separately worry about anything, nor do I have to make any arrangement from my own side. Lord will take care of everything. This is the meaning of Shraddha. So Shraddha is manifested by different devotees at different times. You can see from scriptures. Avashya Rakshibe Krishna. This statement is also made. Avashya Rakshibe Krishna. Krishna, you will certainly protect me. This is the type of faith a devotee has. Or one of the six aspects of surrender is Rashiti Vishwaso. That is also one of the aspects. Or it says that one has a complete faith that Lord will give him all protection. Then Srila Prabhupada writes the purport to this shloka, Abhayam Satvasam Shuddhir Jnana Yoga Bhavastiti. There he writes how a devotee should have faith in Krishna. In fact, when one takes the Vanaprastha order and Sannyas order, in such a stage one should have complete faith in Krishna's protection. So much so that even when he enters into the jungle, he should not worry about his life. he should not worry whether a tiger will come and kill me, or what will happen to my relatives, what will happen to my son or daughter, or what will happen to my wife, or what will happen to my relatives. One does not worry about anything. Only then one is allowed to enter into the renounced path. Because that is the meaning of abhayam. One is completely fearless. And that fearlessness comes by taking shelter of Krishna. Abhay charanaravindare. That's the meaning of abhay charanaravindare. By taking shelter of Krishna properly, one can achieve the stage of fearlessness. This morning we were discussing in our Srimad Bhagavatam how a person achieves the stage of abhaya, fearlessness. When one is in a very dark room, pitch dark room, then there will be snakes or scorpions in the room. So one may be very, very afraid. You may always be in tension, especially in winter season if you are entering a dark room or a godown. You are afraid that there may be some scorpions or snakes. You suspect that they may be there. And even if you touch a rope, immediately you start shouting, thinking it is a snake. In the same way, a person in ignorant stage of life, or when he is a conditioned soul, he is always tossed between sukha and dukkha. He is imagining pleasures and imagining pains in the material world. So he is suffering. Actually there is no snake or no scorpion. Still he imagines. In the same way, the ignorant fool, he imagines pains and pleasures. And he is always suffering. But when the sunlight comes into the room, you can clearly see there are no scorpions or no snakes. Then you have no fear. In the same way, when one takes shelter of Krishna, as is a Krishna Surya Sama, then all the fear immediately is driven out. No more fear. That is why he comes to the stage of na shochati, na kanshati. He neither laments nor hankers for anything. Why should he hanker? Because he understands I have achieved everything in life. He says, as Krishna says, that yajnatva neha poyonya jnatajyam avasishyate. After having achieved this, there is no more knowledge to be gained. Similarly, in another sloka also he says, yam ladva chaparam labham manyante manchante nadikam tataha. After achieving this, a devotee feels there is nothing more in my life that I have to gain. I have gained the highest thing in my life. So he has nothing to fear in the world. So Prahalad was such a devotee who is exemplifying this shloka. He had achieved everything in his life because he had devotion to Krishna. And he was tortured in so many ways. He had complete faith that Krishna will protect me. Rakshasakiti Vishwasa. He was hurled down from the top of a cliff. He was thrown into a cage with hungry lions. So he was not even a bit afraid of the situations. Similarly, we hear about Draupadi. Actually, Draupadi made an endeavor to save herself by catching the sari with her hand, later by catching it with her teeth. Finally, she raised her hands with both arms raised. She called out, "Hey Krishna, hey Dwarakavasin." So she called for Krishna. Then Krishna came to protect her. In fact, Krishna is not just satisfied with somebody who is calling his name. He wants the souls to call his name desperately. Only then he will respond. Even in Bible, Old Testament, there is something said which I was amazed was repeated in Bhakti Samrita Sindhu by Rupa Goswami. It is called as it said Jehovah is a jealous lover. It was there. And the same statement I found in Bhakti Samrita Sindhu. Krishna is a jealous lover. You may wonder, what is this jealous lover? Jealous lover means one who wants his servants to exclusively love him. And he does not want them to love anybody besides him. And he also wants to love every soul in the same way without thinking of anything else. As Krishna says, sadhava hridayam makhyam, sadhavanam hridayam paham, madanyatena jananti naham tebhyo managati. So he demands exclusive devotion. That is why he will not accept anything short of pure devotion. It said in Srimad Bhagavatam, muktim dadati karichitsna nabhakti yogam. It is said Lord very easily awards mukti to anybody who even shows a little bit of hankering for mukti. But bhakti yogam he never gives very easily. Because the qualification for bhakti is complete shraddha. It is, we sing in the song, Bodhasukya Kabarga, we sing, Jati dan vidya bal nakare apeksha. When Nityananda offers Lord's love to the living entities, Jati dan vidya bal All these things he never sees. He doesn't see what is your jati, he doesn't see your education, he doesn't see your strength or power. All these things he doesn't see. But what he sees? Shraddha Mulya Shuddhana Parama Ananda. What is the Mulya that he demands? Shraddha. That is what is demanded. One should have complete faith. When one has a complete faith, immediately Lord awards bhakti to such a person. So, the Lord demands such pure devotion and chaste devotion. In the story of Ambarish and Durvasa Muni, when Durvasa went to Shivaloka, after he went to Brahma, then finally he goes to Vaikuntha Loka, where he begs the Lord, please kindly protect me. This Sudarshan Chakra is chasing me. And Lord says, I have no power to take this away. You have to go back to my devotee. At that time he glorifies his devotee with many prayers. There is one of the prayers where Lord says that my devotees are very chaste to me. He says, Mayi nirbhakta hridaya sarvatra samadarshanaha pashe kurvanti maam bhaktya satriya satpatindata. He says, Mayi nirbhakta hridaya, such pure devotees of mine have caught me in their heart, have trapped me in their heart. I am unable to escape from them. That is saying. They have caught me in their heart. How? Vashe kurvanti maam bhaktya. By their pure devotion to me, they have conquered my heart. And because of that, they have taken me away and they have kept me in their heart. Exactly like satriya satpatimyata. He says, just like a chaste wife, and by her chaste service to her husband, brings a gentle husband under her control. In the same way, my devotees have brought me under their control. It's a very, very beautiful analogy. Of course, Lord is not talking of a henpecked husband who will anyway run after the wife. Lord is talking of a chaste wife and a gentle husband. So wife, by her chastity, she is covering her husband. In the same way, the Lord is saying, the heart of his devotee, how chaste it is, how pure it is. Is there any desire for number of followers? Is there any desire for enjoying the opposite sex? Is there any desire for becoming one with God? Is there any other taint in the heart of my devotee? So Lord will verify your heart thoroughly. And only after all these things are cleansed, then when the heart is completely pure, such an innocent love is what is demanded by Krishna. And in that innocent heart, one can have complete faith in Krishna. It's very easy to put complete faith in Krishna in such a heart. That is why the Lord is called as the jealous lover. You see how Haridas Thakur was beaten up in so many marketplaces, but he was not even a bit moved by the beating of so many men. In fact, he prayed to the Lord that you please kindly save them. Later on, Lord Chaitanya revealed Haridas Thakur. Lord Chaitanya removed his clothes and showed Haridas Thakur, just see my back. And on his back there were lion marks which were reddish because somebody had beaten. And all the beating that was given in the body of Haridas Thakur was taken by Lord Chaitanya himself. So the Lord takes all the pain of his devotee. So Haridas Thakur had complete faith, Shraddha, in that way. So a devotee should gradually develop this kind of unflinching faith, that by chanting the Lord's names and by surrendering to him, everything in my life will be accomplished. Sometimes if people feel that if you simply keep on chanting, can you accomplish everything? In fact, many karmis ask you, simply chanting Hare Krishna, you cannot do everything in life. There are so many duties to be performed. What is the use of chanting Hare Krishna? Many people who ask you like this, they never take to chanting. They are not interested in spiritual life at all. In fact, when somebody performs spiritual life, they become little disturbed, because they also know that this is their duty and they are unable to do the duty. So they become disturbed and they tease people who chant the Lord's names. So people who ask like this are working 24 hours a day hard, and they never come to the end of their responsibilities and commitments. Throughout the life they work hard and they never fulfill their commitments, even at the point of death, because they want an extension at the time of death. On the other hand, a devotee who chants the Lord's names and who develops a great faith, he gives up all his vices, he gives up all bad activities, due to which a lot of his time is saved, and he can fulfill his commitments. At the same time, he can also become a great devotee. There was one great devotee, Srivas, Thakur. He had such a great faith in the Lord. Lord once asked him, Lord Chaitanya asked him, how are you managing your household duties? It appears in the daytime you are always singing the glories of Krishna. In the night I am coming to your house and we are having a great kirtan in Shiva Sangam whole night. I don't see you going anywhere out for earning money. How is your household running? It's a great mystery. So Shiva didn't say anything. He just clapped his hands like that. Three times he clapped his hands. Again Lord Chaitanya asked him, what do you mean by this clapping? How do you maintain your house? Again he clapped. And Lord became restless. He wanted to know immediately. Please tell me, what does it mean? Then Shiva said, my Lord, till now there is no dearth of grains in my house. Anytime we want to cook, the Lord immediately supplies everything that we need. But on any day when I find that there are no grains at home, there is nothing at home, then I clap my hands three times like this. And within my three claps of my hands, immediately whatever I need is supplied by the Lord. I don't have to worry, because I have told him that if you don't supply me within these three claps, then I will commit suicide. So Lord immediately supplies whatever I need. So when Lord Chaitanya heard this, he saw the faith of Shiva, such a deep faith. He said, my dear Shiva, even if Goddess of Fortune Lakshmiji goes from street to beg, you will never become poor. He told him. It's an exaggerated statement, apparently. Goddess of Fortune will never go for begging. But even if she goes for begging, you will never become poor. You will have everything you want because of your faith in me. This is what Lord Chaitanya wanted to tell him. So this kind of faith is unparalleled. We cannot even dream of this kind of faith. Of course, when Krishna was speaking Bhagavad Gita, he didn't tell Arjuna, clap your hands three times and stay at your house. What did Krishna tell him? Krishna told you have to go and fight. So, this may be applicable for a very advanced devotee who is completely depending on Krishna and does not depend on anything of this world. But in general terms, we all have to do, honestly, whichever minimum work we have to do for earning our livelihood. And the point is, majority of our time we should try to give for Krishna as much as possible. Shiva was giving all his time, 24 hours a day. Actually, literally 24 hours you can say, because even in the night they used to have Akhandanam Kirtan, the whole of the night. So a devotee should understand such wonderful examples and try to give himself more and more and more. And this is how we can show our faith. I was telling you the definition of faith, and the development of this faith takes place by Krishna conscious activities like Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Archanam, Mandanam, Padasevanam, Darsanam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. Through all these things, gradually the faith increases little by little by little. If you want to increase our faith drastically, very fastly, there is one technique. What is that? Associating with very pure hearted devotees who have a great faith in Krishna. The more we associate with them, the more our faith develops very drastically. In fact, even it develops more fastly than by rendering Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam and all these things. Simply by associating with such devotees, one can develop enormous faith in the Lord. Like we gave many examples of Mrigari, how he developed faith in such a short time. How Valmiki developed faith. This faith comes by associating with devotees. Actually, we were talking so much about the faith in the Lord. There is also a great need for faith in the Lord's words. It is said the word of God and God himself are not different. They are the same. So, the Lord has expressed his desire, what he wants every living being to do while living in this world. So, he has expressed his desire in the form of scriptures. So, one should have a complete faith in the scriptures. The scriptures say, taking bath in holy rivers like Ganges is so purifying that it can eradicate all one's sins. Similarly, chanting of the holy names of Lord can eradicate all one's sins and elevate one to the lotus feet of Krishna. So there are many things said in the scriptures. There is a story discussing about the faith. Once upon a time, there was a Kumbh Mela festival You all must be knowing about Kumbh Mela. In Kumbh Mela, there is a Triveni Sangamam, isn't it? Three rivers meet at the same place. And at a particular auspicious time, those who take a dip in that river will be relieved from all sins completely. In fact, in India they say amongst all the festivals, Kumbh Mela is the biggest festival which comes once in 12 years. They call it Mamanga, they call it. Once in 12 years it comes, and a huge crowd, lakhs and lakhs and lakhs of people. Like 50-60 lakhs of people must be there. Such a huge crowd comes to take a dip in the river. So this shows how people in India are ready to do so much of tapasya, austerity, by taking dip in the Ganges, taking dip in the Triveni Sangam, three holy rivers meeting. So at one point of time, when this Kumbh Mela festival was going on, many people were taking a dip in the river. So Shiva and Parvati, they saw the people taking dip. And Parvati asked this question to Shiva. Oh my Lord, it appears so many millions of people are delivered at the same time. How is it that such millions of people are delivered so easily by just by taking a dip in the river? And Shiva said, oh, it is not that easy as you think. It requires a lot of faith. What faith is required? That if you take a dip in the river in Triveni Sangam at the time of Kumbh Mela, you will be immediately liberated. Unless one has firm faith in this statement, then they cannot achieve the full benefit. So Shiva told her, come, let us go and check how many people have this faith. I will show you how majority of these people don't have faith. So Shiva and Parvati came here to the earth, and Shiva took the guise of a person with leprosy, and Parvati was acting his wife, and they both were sitting very close to the spot where all people are taking baths. And whoever was coming from the river, Parvati was requesting them, please kindly touch my husband. Because the Shastras say by taking a dip in the river one can be liberated. If you touch my husband, all his leprosy will immediately vanish and he will also become liberated. Please kindly touch my husband. So people would come, but they were a little fearful. If you touch this man, we will also get the same disease. So nobody responded, everyone went away, one by one. And a small boy, very small boy, he took a dip in the river and he came up. And Parvati requested him, please touch my husband because you are liberated soul. Now you have taken a dip, you are liberated, please touch my husband. He can also be freed from the disease and he can become liberated. Immediately the boy touched Shiva with complete confidence and faith. Then Shiva told, see, this kind of souls are very, very rare to see. Only such souls can be liberated, he said. So this is the faith that is demanded by the Lord. So one should have complete faith in his words. So many people may do it as a ritual, but majority of the people don't have faith. Today in India, people have become so degraded that people are even afraid to be identified as a worshipper of God. Outside when they go, people don't show to others that I am a worshipper of God. People don't want to talk to others about God. Because when they are challenged, they have no answer. Because they have no philosophical understanding. Either they do some ritual blindly, with no understanding, because it is coming in the family tradition, or they do nothing. They practically have no religion today. They just live like animals. But even if one is doing religion, this type of faith is very much required. In the Shastra, there are many things said that may give rise to doubts in anybody who reads them. Like in Bible, there was in Thomas. He was always called as Doubting Thomas. This Doubting Thomas would doubt everything that Jesus would do. So why like this, why like that, why it is said like this, is it really true, like that. So this Doubting Thomas attitude is there in many people. In every step they are always getting doubts and they are always weak. They never are able to grow. So Shastra say many things which when they hear, when people hear, because they don't have sufficient faith in the Lord, when they hear Lord's word, they get doubt there also. Like it is said in the scripture, there are golden mountains, there are iron mountains. When we were hearing about the Gajendra's surrender description, and there are mountains like that, there are rivers and there are oceans. Like in this world we have a salt ocean, similarly we have a milk ocean, Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. He is lying in the milk ocean. Similarly there are planets where there are oceans of liquor. Similarly there are varieties of oceans explained in the scripture. So somebody who reads these things may get bewildered. Is it really true or is it a fairy tale? Even the material creation, when we try to see with our eyes, it looks like a fairy tale. The stars, the planets, sun, moon, and all the things around us, it's looking like some dream or a mystery around us. So it is no wonder even the earth, which is so small, is not completely studied by scientists today. Even if you take the earth, planet, how much of the area of the earth have you covered? Our knowledge about earth is very insignificant. Nobody knows what's happening in the poles, North Pole and South Pole, nobody has gone. Similarly, there are many regions of the earth. Even America was discovered a few hundred years ago. So there are many portions of even our own planet which we have not yet discovered. So what is it of other planets in other places where there are higher dimensional truths existing? Like the Shastras talk about Pushpaka Viman. So when we hear Ramana was going in the Pushpaka Viman, people say, oh, why are you telling stories? This is good mythology. But when man has found an aeroplane, it also looks like a tale for us how one can fly in the sky. We don't have any wings, still we can fly. There is a section of the Vedas which talks about the Vimana Shastra, how a Vimana should be done, how a Vimana should be prepared. He talks about chakra and core, about coils, how to generate electricity. All these things are given in the scriptures. Probably Faraday never referred to the Vedas to find out electricity. But these are already there. We had a book in Bombay, Juhu. They have Vimana Shastra which explains in great length how such a Pushpaka Viman should be designed. It doesn't take off like our aeroplanes. It doesn't need a highway. What do you call it? Way? Runway. It doesn't need a runway to go like this gradually and get elevation. It goes like this. Directly. Goes like a rocket. Directly. So they have given explanation. Scientists are also trying to understand what the Vedas are saying. But there are certain sections of the mechanism which they are unable to find out. Like for example, the Vedas explain that you can convert bell metal into gold. There is a method for that. There is a certain leaf by which you have to make a paste, liquid. And you dip the bell metal in that and when you take out, it will be gold pieces. Gold biscuits. You can make bell metal into gold very easily. There are procedures given very vividly in the scripture. And alchemy is even discussed by chemists even today. People are trying to find out ways and means to transform the bell metal into gold. So they had a technique to do it. Like when we hear of Brahmastra, how it was so powerful, how it can go to a particular person and kill a particular person even in the womb. So when we see Rama and Mahabharata in the TV, one person is sending an arrow here, another person is sending an arrow here. People sometimes wonder whether all these things could be really true, because different arrows are doing different things. It is now wonder, now even in the field of science, when first they had swords, half pistols, after that they had machine guns, by which instead of one person you can kill 10-15 people, after that they had ordinary bombs which can kill a particular area. Now they have nuclear bombs. The first nuclear bomb was dropped in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. How it created such a big destruction. Not only is it causing destruction, the radioactive diseases that follow are very deadly. So Brahmastra is like that nuclear weapon. In fact, currently we talk of only fire weapons or earth weapons. But there are also water weapons which can put out the fire weapons. We hear about the water weapon, fire weapon, when we talk of the fight of Banasura. So there were water weapons, there were ether weapons. Many of the weapons that Arjuna would send, they were sent by chanting a prayer. They were ether, by reciting a prayer. You have to do arkya and you have to chant a prayer and then this arrow will go and hit the spot. Similarly, Arjuna, when he went to the heavenly planet, he learned from Indra, there is Vayavya Astra. Vayav means air. The astra made of air. So when he sends his astra, all the clouds will be dissipated in no time. As soon as he sends this astra. So we hear of many things in the Shastra which existed in the past. And all those techniques are now, we are completely not in touch with them. We do not even know how they worked, how they operated. Because there was a long gap in all these varieties of various colors. There are many, many colors. Even Krishna learned under Sandipani Muni all these colors. To set an example how one should learn all these things. So, the scriptures talk of many, many things like this, and when we come to read them, we may sometimes get bewildered whether these things are really existing. Actually, I have given a list of many, many things, but I will not talk them now because it will take a long time. Suffice to say that the Shastras are like a mother and one should know the truth of the material world from the Shastras only. Whether it is material world or spiritual world or for the deep truth, we should know from the Shastras. Why the example of mother is given? Because a child does not know anything when he is born except from his mother. He even comes to know about his father from his mother only. He comes to know about his brother, sister, and anything else, like a tree, or a cow, or a calf, everything he comes to know from the mother. And he has faith in the mother, that whatever mother teaches me is true. In the same way, if one hears from the Shastra, then one can develop sight. There is no other alternative. But I say, why should I believe in the mother? Let me find out the father myself. So now sometimes students argue, now we have genetics through which we can find out the gene of the father and check who is my father. If you have to check in that way, you have to check every male member of this world. How many male members we have? You will not survive. You can't even check Maharashtra, by before that you will die. So it is like touching the nose like this. You may not arrive at the nose only. You may catch the ear and call it your nose. But touching the nose like this is very easy. So one should accept the verdict of Shastras, authority of Shastras. So when one, somehow or other, some of us have inbuilt faith in us and Shastra. Some of us do not have inbuilt faith. What is the reason? What is the criteria? Why everyone doesn't have inbuilt faith in the Shastra? Some of you here must have had a deep faith in the Shastra even before coming to Krishna consciousness. Somehow or something tells you that the Vedas have to be true. Otherwise, sometimes we see people, even after hammering many, many times, we answer all their questions. Still they hear all the answers and go away. They don't become devotees. Why? Yeah. It is said, if one has committed a lot of sins in the past, and one is lacking past credits, or if one has a poor fund of knowledge, then one cannot appreciate. So even if one has a poor fund of knowledge, if at least one has some past credits, then one develops very quick sight in the Shastras. It can be seen. But whether we have faith or we do not have faith, it is very important for us to gradually nurture the little bit of faith that we have, to develop it more and more and more. Because without developing enormous faith in Krishna, we cannot return back to the kingdom of God. It is not possible. And in the modern times, in the modern world, there is always varieties of opportunities by which one can lose one's sight. Every person from every quarter is trying to destroy your sight. Even your friends, maybe even your relatives, even your near and dear ones, they destroy the tiny faith that you have. We hear in Srimad Bhagavatam the beautiful pastime of Talambasura. Talambasura was a very great demon, but how did he come? He came like a beautiful looking covered boy, and none of the covered boys could detect him, that this is an asura, this is a demon. Nobody could know. And he was also playing with all the covered boys. His intention was to kill Krishna. He wanted to kill Krishna, but he thought, Krishna is so powerful, I may not be able to probably kill him. Maybe first let me kill Balaram, afterwards I will try to kill Krishna. So then he targeted on Balaram. And when they are playing the game of police and thief and lamb, so whoever loses, they have to carry the opponent on his back. So this was the rule. And Balaram party won and Krishna's party lost. And his Talambasura was in Krishna's party. So he said, I will carry Balaram. So he carried Balaram on his back and started very fastly running towards the forest, into the interior of the forest. So very, very deep into the forest he went. Then he planned, now I will kill Balaram. So when he was getting ready, Balaram could immediately understand that this is not an ordinary covered boy. This is a demon. So Balaram was getting ready. And when Balaram caught hold of his neck, immediately Talambasura showed his real form. He was looking like a carbon black, deep dark cloud. So when Balaram was sitting on his shoulders, it appeared exactly like a dark sky in which a beautiful moon is shining. So Balaram was looking like that moon. So Balaram, with his hand, with his fist, gave a strong blow on his head. So that was such a heavy blow that this big demon crashed to the ground, vomited blood, and he died. So in this way Balaram finished him. Balaram represents the spiritual master. And this Talambasura is an asura who comes in a very disguised form when he comes in our life. Like for example, children are going to school and they are studying about Darwin's evolution theory, which says that it came from monkey. Or they study that everything came by chance. So it is like Pralambasa, coming in a disguised form. You think children are getting nicely educated and they are becoming engineers, and you want them to come to higher and higher position. But this Pralambasa will enter them, and they will not be able to do devotion to Krishna. In the same way, even in the assembly, in the society of devotees, somebody may come who is always very, very doubtful. It's very dangerous to associate with people who don't have innocent, complete faith in Krishna. If we associate with people who are always dubious and always finding fault with devotees and always finding fault with Krishna's pastimes or Krishna or anything, such people gradually will destroy our faith. Or they may be actually impersonalists who have come into the assembly of devotees and still maintaining an impersonal understanding about the absolute truth. And they may always find fault with the philosophy, and they will give rise to doubts in the heart of a devotee, and gradually the tender creeper of devotional service will be destroyed. That is part of our heart. So this is the way Pralambasa came. So the devotee may be disturbed by so many people, especially the scientists, or by Mayavadis, or by Dharmadvaji pretender. He can be cheated by so many types of people. So the spiritual master represents Balaram. So Balaram gave a big blow on the head of this asura and killed him. In the same way, just like in the assembly of covered boys, this one innocent covered boy, so-called covered boy, he took Balaram away. In the same way, as soon as Pralambasa comes into our mind, our faith in the spiritual master is taken away. Like as soon as you put faith in the words of a scientist who is giving you information based on his imperfect senses, eyes are imperfect, ears are imperfect, nose, tongue, skin, everything is imperfect. Like when I was studying in IIT, I read an article in the paper, "No life on Mars." So all boys are saying, see, you people are always telling that there are life on other planets. There is Gandharaloka, Charanaloka, Vidyadharaloka. You are thinking life on other planets. See, here it says there is no life on Mars. Exactly 1 year later they said, life on Mars. Another article came. So this is the nature of scientists. Time to time they will keep on updating, revising, modifying information. They will say something today, tomorrow they will say exactly the opposite. This is what is science. It keeps on changing. Because it is based on our imperfect senses. But if somebody hears that life on Mars, here he says that there is no life on Mars, the proper says there is life everywhere. That means life on Mars, life on Moon, life on Saturn, life on Pluto. Shastra says there is life in every planet in the universe. So when we hear some scientist saying there is no life, then one puts 50% faith in scientists and 50% faith in Krishna. And then now he is now torn apart between the two. Where can I go? And most often he is carried away by the scientists, and he goes into the world and he loses. So when Pralambasa came, what did he do? He carried away the spiritual master, original spiritual master. Same way, our faith in spiritual master is very tender now. If you don't nourish it, it is taken away. That's all, you lose. That is why Prabhupada used to say, every now and then Prabhupada would tell his disciples in the early morning walk, when they would be going for morning walks. So what do the scientists say? Prabhupada will ask purposefully, so that his disciples can ask some question what scientists say. So Prabhupada, scientists say that they have created all these things. What have they created? They have taken, for building this beautiful bungalow, they have taken sand from the earth, they have taken water from the oceans, they have taken everything. Even for running the industries, manganese, sulfur, all these things, where are they getting from? If law doesn't provide manganese, sulfur and all these different chemicals, how can the chemical industries run? And if it doesn't provide iron ore, how can all the big companies like Tata, Telco, Tempo, all these companies, how can they run? So Prabhupada would immediately smash them. So sometimes Prabhupada would tell his disciples, who is saying that? Bring the scientist, I will kick him on his face with my boots. He would say like that. Prabhupada never wore boots any time. Nor was he a young man to kick on the face of a scientist. But what he actually meant was this blow of Balaram on the head of Pralambasa. Prabhupada meant the same blow. He said, whatever doubts you have, you bring it to surface. I will kick it. One time a disciple wrote to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Mr. Lust is disturbing me too much. No. Prabhupada said, bring that Mr. Lust in front of me, I will kick him on his face with my boots. And he is at once finished. So Prabhupada would write like that. What he exactly means is the duty of the spiritual master is to kick away all the doubts of his disciples. So the duty of the disciple is to reveal his heart to the spiritual master. It is very essential. If you do not reveal our heart to the spiritual master, then whom are you going to reveal? Probably you will reveal it to Maya if you don't reveal it to spiritual master. So one should not hide one's doubts within the heart, thinking that if I reveal my doubts, others may think I am less advanced. So better not talk. Let me maintain my doubts. Now they may be like small, tiny doubts. Later on, they may grow bigger and bigger and bigger. And they'll become so big that your faith in Krishna will be finished. So one should have complete faith in the words of Krishna. As far as the knowledge about the Supreme Lord is concerned, there is no substitute to hear the knowledge from the Lord Himself. We have to hear the truth from the Lord Himself, about Himself. So Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita, who is He and what He wants us to do. Knowledge is very, very clear. But in the material world there are so many, every one of them is coming out with their own books. And in each of those books, the author or the founder of the institution, he writes his own opinions. Many, many people have published books, and majority of them claim themselves to be God. It's very obvious. There are not just one or two organizations, plenty of organizations in India. And such people write book of their own, but only the cover they put it as Bhagavad Gita. They put the cover of Bhagavad Gita. Why? Because it will sell in the market very nicely. Because Bhagavad Gita is such a world-renowned scripture that anybody will buy it. Closing the eyes, people will buy Bhagavad Gita. So they use Krishna's name in order to promote their own product. This is a demoniac mentality. Demoniac mentality means to use Krishna's property for one's own enjoyment. Just like Prabhupada says, how the scientists and others, they are taking everything from nature. They are taking the chemicals, they are taking water, they are taking air, light. Anything that we use in our life comes from nature. But then using all these things, they are blaspheming Krishna. This is the nature of a demon. Demon takes everything from the Lord for his own enjoyment, and he also blasphemes Krishna. Whereas the devotee, he takes everything and offers it back to Krishna. So the people with demonic mentality, they write their own books and they call it with the name Bhagavad Gita, and they also declare themselves to be God. If one wants to know the truth and develop complete faith, then one has to hear it either from Krishna himself or from a faithful devotee who is coming in the line, disciplic line of any one of these four sampradayas. Then our faith can become very concrete. Otherwise we can never develop proper faith. To be very frank, although I would not quote the names, in Pune there are so many temples or so many other organizations. You can go around and see. People come, mostly only old people come there, if you see. 80 or 90 year old people who have lost their teeth, who cannot hear properly, whose hair has grown white and body is full of wrinkles. And sometimes their son or daughter may bring them to the temple because they are going to die any time. So they bring them to the temple, they put some coin and they ring the bell, and somebody may be doing arati for some Baba or some so and so, and people just stand there in the arati. Nobody knows what they are doing, whom are they praying to. It's very common everywhere. You see so many Maharajas, so many Babas everywhere, all over India, and they worship in this way. They don't have any understanding of who is God. This is a problem. They do not know who is Krishna, who is Ram, who is Ganapati, who is Kartikeya, who is Shiva, what is the position of each of them. They do not know, because unfortunately all these people are all developed by such mental speculators who claim to be God. So I would like to cite the example which I read today, which was which quickly assumed a place in my heart. It's a beautiful example. If there is a glass piece, with this glass piece we can receive the sunlight and reflect it into a dark room. Can it eradicate the darkness in the room, the reflection coming from this glass piece? It cannot. If the darkness in the room has to be eradicated, then the sunlight itself has to come. You understand? If you take a small glass piece and try to send it in the room, all you will see is one bright spot in one corner of the room. That's how it can light up the room. The room has to be lit up, then the sunlight itself has to come. In the same way, there are so many small glass pieces which are like the tiny living entities, which are simply reflecting Yadya Vibhuti Matsatram Srimad Ujita Mevava Tattat Evava Gacchatram Mama Teja Amsha Sambhava. We are only having an Amsha. Keeping this Amsha, all these Amshas are claiming to be God. They are simply like glowworms. It is said in Kali Yuga, so many souls will claim to be God and they are like the glow worms. When Lord Krishna rises in the east like a sun, what is the power of these glow worms? As long as the sun doesn't rise, all the glow worms can do propaganda. We are the people giving you the best light. There is nobody superior to us in giving you light. So worshippers, bow down to us, they can say. But when the sun rises in the east, what will happen to the glow worms? They have to run away and hide somewhere. They have no power. In fact, they derive all the power from the sun only, all the glow that they have. So, in the same way, if one wants to see the sun, one cannot see the sun with man-made torchlights or man-made lamps. In the night, if you have a torchlight, you are trying to have some light so that you can see the road. But with that torchlight, can you see the sun? Similarly, with a man-made philosophy, you will never be able to understand God who is like the sun. God can never be understood. But if the sun wants to reveal itself, then it can rise in the sky and then by seeing it you can understand. Similarly, when Krishna wanted to reveal himself to the world, he gave the knowledge to Brahma and Brahma gave it to Vyas. And so the knowledge is coming down in a disciplic line. And by hearing this knowledge and by practicing it, Krishna will manifest in our hearts. Exactly like the sun rising in the east and manifesting. Nobody can demand the Lord, right now you come. But one can pray to the Lord that I want to render service to you. And you, please kindly let your lotus feet be manifest in our heart. Like the Yajnapatni's prayer, oh Lord, may your lotus feet be invoked in our heart always. Let us never forget your feet. Because even not forgetting Krishna's lotus feet is also in Krishna's hands only. It is not in our hands. We can endeavor, but ultimately we don't have the ability. Like sometimes you see, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. They are trying to chant and then you get a perfect concentration. And you see that you are completely oblivious to the material world. Thinking probably I have become very advanced. Because now I am able to completely concentrate. Next day also you may sit in the same posture and you may chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Mind is wandering like anything. You have seen that? So we should never think we are the controller. Narada did the same thing. And Narada was a Dasiputra. He first did meditation under the tree under the guidance of Bhaktivedantas. And by sincere meditation with an innocent heart, immediately the Lord in the heart, he appeared in front of him. And when he saw the beautiful transcendental form, he was overwhelmed with joy and ecstasy and started crying tears and trembling. And Lord immediately disappeared in the scene. And then again he thought, oh, probably I have to do proper meditation. Again I will do. Same posture, same way he meditated. And he tried again and again and again and again. Lord never appeared. And he started weeping. Then the Lord, as Akashavani, Lord spoke, my dear Narada, I am never revealed to one who has not fulfilled his service and who is not completely free from all impurities. I am not revealed to such a person. So, in this lifetime, you will never get to see me again. You continue performing this penance. And in next lifetime, you will become a great devotee. So, the Lord revealed to him like that. So, by a mechanical process, one cannot achieve the Lord. It's not possible. Like, sun can be seen only by sun's own light. So, with sunlight, you can see when sun wants to reveal himself. In the same way, the Lord is telling his mat, as many times Krishna says, Yene matamidam he says, these are my opinions. Krishna so kindly has come to this world and he has given his expert opinion about all the truths. So, every one of the shlokas should be taken with great reverence in our life. One time when Lokanath Swami Maharaj had come to Pune, he was telling the shloka, Manmana Bhava Madbhakto. So that day he was telling how Krishna with his own lips, he said this, Manmana, think of me, Bhava Madbhakto, become my devotee. I was wondering what is the greatness in saying with his own lips. What is the greatness? This can be appreciated only by very advanced devotees. If Krishna has spoken with his own lips, that means the Lord is the supreme authority. There is no greater authority than him. And he kindly comes himself and he himself speaks the truth. What can be a better truth than this? And Lord is saying, you do this, and when you do it, immediately the result will be achieved. So one should have complete faith in the Lord's words. This also is said by the Lord, what he says just now. So he said, Shraddhavan labhate jnanam tatpara samyatendriyaha. Jnanam labdva param shantim acheyanadi gacchati. Achara means not very late. Very quickly, one achieves a param shantim, the ultimate peace. and by achieving this transcendental knowledge. So one has to be Shraddhavan, Padate Jnana. One has to be Shraddhavan, he says. He says, Ajnascha, Ashraddha, Dhanascha. Three people is telling. Ashraddha, sorry, Ajna, and Ashraddha Dhana, and Samshayatma. Three people is telling. Ajna means a person is completely ignorant. He doesn't know anything. He is a fool. He is completely covered over in ignorance. And Ashraddha Dhana is one who knows the truth, but he has not yet developed faith. And Samshayatma is one who is hearing the truth and is constantly expressing doubt more and more. Actually, the difference is told by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur between the three. He is telling three classes of people who fail. One is Ajna, or the foolish like the animals. Ashraddha Dhana has knowledge of the Shastras, but having seen mutual disagreements of proponents of various theories, they have no trust in any of them. These are called as Ashraddha Dhana. That means they hear so many organizations saying so many things, they get bewildered, ultimately they practice nothing, and they leave everything. But Samshayatma is neither Ajna, he is not Ashraddha Dhana, he is in between, he is within the movement, and is hearing and is always expressing doubt. He is called as Samshayatma. Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas didn't leave and go away. He was still in the movement, but he would always be telling, why like this, why like that? He would stay for 20 years also, but he keep on finding fault. Why it is like this? He is called as Samshayatma. So Krishna says, Satya Samshayatma is the most unfortunate. Because, so Samshayatma, what happens to him? Vinashati, ultimately he is destroyed. Then he says, Nayam Lokosthi Naparo. In this world also he is not happy, in the next world also he is not happy. Because in Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, only two people are very ecstatic. One is a Paramahamsa devotee of the Lord, who is constantly absorbed in Krishna and is oblivious to the material world. And in that absorption, thinking of Krishna's pastimes, he is always smiling, crying, laughing like that. Another person? Huh? A madman, fool. One who is in a mental asylum. So he is happy, he is laughing, sometimes saluting, sometimes saying I am Prime Minister, saying so many things. He appears to be very happy. But people in between, in this world, have to experience the miseries. Bhagavatam says, they will always undergo miseries and they will be able to see the perceive the miseries. So we have to become whom? We have to become Paramahamsas and go in the other direction. But if one continues only with the material world and never worship God, they go to the other platform. They have to be admitted in the mental asylum. I came to know, in America, out of every three persons goes to a psychiatrist. Can you believe it? One out of three people go to a psychiatrist. Then we got a calculation of how many psychiatrists are there in America, and that was a very meager number. That goes to show that some psychiatrists go to other psychiatrists are getting treatment. So this is the condition of America today. People in India are asking, what is this? You people are chanting Hare Krishna. Why didn't you become like Americans? So they want us to become crazy like them. So one should not be Ajna. One should not be Ashraddha Dhana, one should not be Samshayatma. One should get rid of these three stages. One should come to the stage of complete faith. Because Nayam Lokos Tinaparo Nasadam Samshayatmana. You can see, even in Krishna consciousness, the miserable people are those who are unable to develop faith. You have seen that? You can see practically. Those who have developed faith, they are the ecstatic people. Those who have not developed faith, those who are constantly having doubts, so they are miserable. Sometimes their mind will tell them, just leave everything and go. Sometimes they feel like that. And then they want to leave, and then they may not be able to leave because they have little faith. Some kind of faith is that. Like Prabhupada used to say, material life and spiritual life, when you compare. Spiritual life is difficult, material life is impossible, he would say. If you compare material life and spiritual life is certainly difficult. Where is there life in this world where there is no suffering? In spiritual life, certainly you have to wake up in the morning, you have to change around, to follow so many rules and regulations. Nobody denies the difficulties. Certainly, as you say, no pains, no gains. Difficulties are there. But material life is impossible. Even in this life and in the next life, one has to suffer a lot. Material life is impossible. So one should get rid of the stage of doubting. This Acharya says here, although Samshayatmas have faith, they are swayed by doubt. I don't know whether this process will be effective in my case. Even fools attain some material happiness, the doubtful attain none. As I say like that. So even the fools are in the platform of ignorance is bliss. Like somebody is a drunkard and he is lying in the street, sometimes he is laughing. When he drinks more, he starts crying because this is the pain. So he may be sometimes laughing, sometimes crying, lying in the street. But one who is not a drunkard, one who is in a normal state of consciousness, he suffers. So one should get rid of the samshayatma stage. So how can we become free from samshay, free from doubts? Is we have to associate with those who have enormous faith in the word of the Lord. Faith in the Lord himself and faith in the word of the Lord. And we have to follow the scriptures very, very carefully. We may not get immediate faith in everything that we hear. But if you execute the orders that are offered to you by spiritual master and the senior authorities, one will see that one's faith is increasing more and more. Actually, anybody who has come to spiritual life has a little bit of faith in the beginning. It is called as adavishraddha. And that faith is nurtured and it grows into sadhanga. Like all of you are coming regularly, but why not everyone come regularly? So many people you see missing. Why are you still missing? Because they are still in the first stage only. What is that stage? Adavishraddha. They are not gone beyond. So in the higher stage, one wants sadhusanga. In fact, one is hankering for it. One is ready to travel any distance for sadhusanga. One is ready to spend any amount of time. Some people have so much commitment. They give up all the commitments and they go back and they fulfill by being awake till the middle of the night, covering up next day. They work hard. Why? Because they want the sadhusanga. They have a great eagerness. Then one's bhajan kriya will improve. Bhajan kriya is chanting, not just chanting principally with no understanding. Real bhajan kriya is chanting at least in namabhas. So one can chant very nicely. When one chants nicely, at least in namabhas if you chant, then the anartha nivritti starts, cleansing stage. As anartha nivritti goes on more and more, when the anarthas are cleansed, then when one comes to nishtha, that is the madhyamadhikara stage. Nishtha madhyamadhikara is at the same stage. Deep protect sight one gets. So, even one cannot defeat with shastras, at least one's faith in Krishna is now firmly established. Generally, a person cannot fall down, generally, after the nishtha stage, because the faith is very deep-rooted. So, we all have to come to that madhyamadhikari stage, at least in order to become stable in spiritual life. After we become stable, we can always grow further to ruchi, and then rati, bhava, prema, higher. So in this way, in these two shlokas, Krishna is talking about the importance of developing faith in all the knowledge that he has been giving to Arjuna. Hare Krishna. So how many has your Bhagavad Gita with you? Also we have? Okay, so you can see page number. The shloka which we are reading just now. Who can achieve transcendental knowledge? This is the question. Answer is 39 and 40. Who can achieve? Who cannot achieve? One who has faith can achieve complete transcendental knowledge, and one who doubts, he cannot achieve. That means even if he hears, it is not of much benefit. And what are the symptoms of one who has successfully applied transcendental knowledge to work? That is given in 41. Yoga sanyas karmana karmanam jnana sanchinna samshayam atmavantam na karmani nibadnanti dhananjaya. They said one who acts in devotional service renouncing the fruits of his actions and whose doubts have been destroyed by transcendental knowledge is situated factually in the self. That is not bound by the reactions of work or conqueror of riches. And then Krishna is concluding this chapter in the last verse 42nd. He says, slash his knowledge, all doubts born of ignorance, stand and fight. He says, tasmad ajnana sambhutam, kriptam jnanati natmanah, chitvainam samshayam yogam, apishthotishtha bharata. So if you have the book with you, you can make a marking. In the purport, Prabhupada begins with, the yoga system instructed in this chapter is called Sanatana Yoga. So from there, beginning from there, up to the next page 271. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th line. What is the ending of 5th line? Makes a perfect sacrifice. Up to that, it is Prabhupada is talking about the goal of sacrifice. Number one, goal of sacrifice. You read about sacrifice, you all must be remembering, variety of sacrifice. Goal of sacrifice is, ultimately, one should achieve devotional service. And then beginning from that sentence, when we come to spiritual activities, we find that these are also divided into two, namely understanding of oneself and then truth regarding Supreme Personality. So that is two levels of spiritual knowledge. So beginning from that when, and if you go further, you know, and such understanding is beneficial for such a person can easily understand the transcendental activities of the Lord, Paritins. After that, Prabhupada is talking about two levels of spiritual knowledge. And then in the beginning of this chapter, Prabhupada is explaining what is transcendental knowledge. Shloka 1 to 10, isn't it? So in the beginning of the chapter, the transcendental activities of the Lord were discussed by the Supreme Lord Himself. One who does not understand the instructions of the Gita is faithless and is to be considered to be misusing the fragment of independence awarded to him by the Lord. In spite of such instructions, one who does not nature of the Lord as the eternal blissful, all-knowing personality regarded is certainly fool number one. After that, learning of Lord's transcendental activities. And then beginning from ignorance can be removed by gradual acceptance of the principles of Krishna consciousness. From there when you come down, but within all these activities the important factor is self-realization. One who seeks that objective is the real student of Bhagavad Gita. That is actually the goal of sacrifice too. And then ahead of that purpose is about properly learning transcendental knowledge. What should one do? One should accept the bona fide spiritual master. So in this purport, Prabhupada is beautifully giving a summary study of the entire chapter. So you all can go back and read this purport very carefully so that you will be able to know what we have been discussing the past so many weeks. So with this shloka, chapter 4 ends. So very beautiful conclusion Prabhupada has given. So if you read this one purport, you get to know everything that you learned in this chapter. Anybody can remember shloka number 1 to 10 we learnt about? The transcendental activities. After that, what we are discussing? Beginning from 11, probably if you see, if you want you can see Bhagavad Gita so that it becomes easy. You can 11 to 15, applying transcendental knowledge to work. How to apply transcendental knowledge to work? Kamshanta Karmanam Siddhim, we were discussing about all different types of karma, everything. And then 16 onwards, he is discussing about how to perform akarma. Akarma is beginning from 16 through 24. All these things are discussing about akarma and its concomitant benefits, how to perform. And then 25th onwards, he is talking about the sacrifices, up to 33. Dana yajna, dravya yajna, tapo yajna, jnana yajna, yoga yajna, all these different yajnas. And then after 34, the conclusion begins, as I told you. 34 to 42, he is called part of the conclusion of this chapter, transcendental knowledge. So in 34, Krishna told us how to achieve this transcendental knowledge. What is the answer? By surrendering to his spiritual master, Tadvidhi Pranipatena, that shloka. And then he said, what is the fruit of transcendental knowledge? What are the shlokas? There are four shlokas for that, 35, 36, 37, 38. One never falls into illusion. As Krishna said, Jnatvana Punarmoham Evam Pasad Pandava. It is 35. And then eradicates all the reactions and miseries by attaining this knowledge. Krishna explains how it is. And after the 38th shloka, who can achieve this transcendental knowledge? Today we discuss 39 and 40. Shraddhavan, only Shraddhavan can achieve, and if one doesn't have Shraddha, he cannot achieve. And then, what are the symptoms of one who has successfully applied transcendental knowledge to work? Actually, many things are said here. He desires no fruits and is not bound by work, and he knows he is an eternal servant of Krishna. That is in 41. I didn't talk about 41 more because we will be getting more elaborate detailed information about this later. So and in the text 42, Krishna is now telling Arjuna, now with this knowledge give up all your doubts and you arise and fight. So all of you, when you go back, kindly read the purport to text number 42 to gain a complete understanding of what we have been hearing. Next week we'll begin from chapter 5. Hare Krishna. Any questions? 1 to 10 is transcendental knowledge. 1 to 10. Krishna, if you want, I'll give you my Bhagavad Gita. I can make a note. I had to go a little fast. I have noted down everything in this. How this chapter is flowing. Anybody has any question regarding, any doubt regarding doubt? That we discussed in our previous lectures. Who can say what type of doubts can we ask?
Which we cannot avoid.
Of course, there is a real problem. But what kind of questions, like she was saying just now, we can ask questions which will really help us to advance in spiritual life. Or if you have any doubts, which are constantly coming in our mind because of which we are unable to advance, so genuine doubts you can ask. Kapha says two things, absurd inquiries and blind following. Both should be avoided. You should not have absurd inquiries, which doesn't make much sense. And one should not ask, one should not be blindly following also. Both should be avoided. So one has to be in between the two.
Should
we ask all our doubts? Actually, as you progress, gradually the doubts will be clarified when you hear the classes. Shravanam is occurred. And keep on hearing more and more. Before you ask a question, that whatever doubt you had will be clarified in the course of the class. So, one should not allow the doubt to overwhelm a person and take a person away from Krishna. That is very important. One should feel free to ask.
Do you understand from the passing of Srivastava that we should give all our time, that we should renounce our material things only if we are that level?
Yes, correct. Yes, one can renounce. It's very difficult for a person to behave like Srivastava. He just gave a very, very ideological example. It's very difficult for a common man. But when one hears these things, one can understand what was the level of great souls who lived just 500 years ago. Of course, they are all partially an eternal associates of the Lord. But by this example, we can get inspiration so that we can also renounce as much as possible. That's why nobody should ever think, I am doing my best in my spiritual life. Sometimes they often say, no, I am trying my best. But nobody can say, I am doing my best for Krishna. You never do the best. You always do the very, very least. You are not doing best. If you do your best for Krishna, then you will become a pure devotee very soon. In fact, Prabhupada says, even when you read Srimad Bhagavatam, by the time you come to 9th canto, you'll be a pure devotee, Prabhupada says. You begin from 1st canto, keep on reading, when you come to 9th canto, you'll be a pure devotee. Amazing. That means if one is entering service and reading Bhagavatam with full sincerity, one will be a pure devotee when he comes to 9th canto. And Prabhupada's word, that much shraddha is required when one renders service. So, one should try to surrender more and more. Now, when you talk to others, you have to discriminate and then preach. You cannot preach to anybody. So, if you are preaching to atheists, you can prove to him how God exists. That much is enough. Or you can argue with him about the body and soul. How we are not the body, we are the soul. But when you are preaching to somebody who already is religious and agreeable to even chanting, you tell him to chant one round. Without one question, he starts chanting immediately. You have seen people like that? Some people have natural inclination. In fact, they come to temple and they are asking for mala. Some people are like that. So to them, we can preach about Krishna. We can tell about Krishna. We can tell about how Krishna is supreme, how Krishna is superior to demigods. We can explain all that to them. So when somebody is already a devotee, hearing all these things, he knows about Krishna, he knows about demigods, he's chanting, he has passed many years, then he can hear about more confidential message about Krishna. So, different people have to be given different levels of knowledge. You cannot give the same thing to everyone. So, like Madhyamadikari discriminates between four types of people. The dvesh, one who is doing dvesh, envy, and one who is with an envious person, he avoids them completely. And with a devotee, he is making friendship. And with an innocent person, he tries to preach and make him a devotee. And with the Lord, he understands Radha Krishna to be the supreme object of love. And he gives them the throne of his heart. Chaitam Sarka Pankar Mahamanda Makarzati Matsar Sukatam Bozo Sada Madana Mahano Vivya Dvindaranya Kalpudumada Srimad Ratnagara Simhasanato Sushi Radha Shila Govinda Devo Krishtalaji Sri Manav Smaran. So this is Abhideya, the second stoka. So in Abhideya process, now we all are doing Abhideya actually. So we should place Radha and Krishna in the throne of our heart. So every one of us has got something in our throne. Nobody can say no. What is there in our throne? That which you love the most, that which you cherish the most, that you want to constantly possess, which you never want to spare to anybody. That is there in the throne. So different people have different things in their throne. Children may have their tricycle in their throne even when sleeping in the night. Or the young man may have his beautiful wife in the throne. So the different people have different things in the throne. For a devotee, who should be in the throne? Sadhan Krishna. Ratnagara Simhasana Stav. What is that Ratnagara Simhasana? That is our own heart. Which is actually a jeweled throne, which is meant for Radha and Krishna. So we should preserve that place for them. Then nobody, then the Lord will give us mercy. We should make that as our top priority. Material renunciation with increase in faith?
It may not consider as inactivity.
No, material renunciation should be substituted by dynamic spiritual activity. Isn't it? Like Srivas, you see, throughout the night they were singing kirtans and preaching. So, as far as devotee is concerned, devotee is not inactive. He is not lazy. In fact, when Srila Prabhupada started his con, he wanted brahmacharis to work from morning to night, get tired and sleep in the night. In his case, they have no room for thinking anything bad, but work very, very hard. Sometimes devotees work even harder than karmis. Materialistic people, devotees, when you go at 12 o'clock, they wake up at 3, there are many centers, book dissipation they do. They come late night and wake up early morning, throughout the day they work very hard. They burn their body completely, like that. So devotees work very hard for Krishna. Not that they give up the material activity and they are eating and sleeping. That is not at all recommended. You know, Arjuna is told to work, he is told to fight here. So Prabhupada, even in his later days when he was lying in his bed, when he got invitation from London, he jumped from his bed. The doctor said he cannot even move from the bed. The Prabhupada said, impossible, let me go to London and preach. And Prabhupada said, even if I have to die, let me die in the battlefield, he said. I'll go to London, preach, and while preaching Krishna consciousness, let me die, he said. So this is the mood of a devotee. Devotee never wants to take rest at any time. Devotee constantly wants to preach. So, if you are giving up material activity, like Prabhupada was a pharmaceutical shop owner, and he had a chemical business, people may ask, he had a wife, he had children, why should he not continue with the business? He could have done that. So he would have taken care of one family. But when Prabhupada renounced, he was not taking rest. He went to Vrindavan, he sat in Radha Damodar temple, wrote wonderful literatures, spiritual literature, and he traveled outside India and preached all over the world. In 12 years, he encircled the globe 14 times. So this is the mood of a devotee. Devotee never spends his time idly. Ayusha kshana ekopi narabhya swarna kotibhi. One moment is precious for a devotee, every moment. Because one moment cannot be returned by paying millions of gold coins. So it is not at all inactivity. It has to be replaced with dynamic, positive spiritual activity.
How should we balance that material life and spiritual life?
That you can ask Gaurasundar Prabhu when he comes to your college. For students, we have to give a separate treatment how to balance. Because you have to see your schedule, studies. You have to do your minimum spiritual life of chanting 2 rounds or 4 rounds, whatever you are chanting. Sometimes in the beginning stage of our spiritual life, what we do, we become over enthusiastic. And we leave our college studies and we sit with Prabhupada Gidamras of such books and hours, we say that now I have become Krishna conscious now. Nothing doing. I will not do anything else. And your friends, they go and report to your parents. Your son has become crazy now. So we should learn to very carefully balance both. We want to get good marks and we also want to take care of Krishna consciousness. In fact, majority of our question answers, we discuss about these things in the colleges. In balancing, sometimes we start taking too much care of the body. On one hand, you are said that don't overwork because your body will be burnt. Then you cannot lifelong serve Krishna. If you have to lifelong serve, then you have to take care of the body. Sometimes in the name of taking care of the body, we sleep 10, 15 hours. That is not taking care of the body. So very carefully you should balance between the two. So that balance will be revealed to Krishna himself. When you are trying to balance, Krishna will clearly show you that this was the gratification. You are just cheating yourself. So don't sleep too much. Sometimes you may say you have to have a healthy body, so you should eat nice things. So you may overeat, isn't it? And you may suffer from stomachache and indigestion. So one should learn, that's why he says, yuktahara viharasa yukta cheshasa karmasu. One should not overeat, one should not undereat. One should not oversleep, one should not undersleep. So we have to balance these things to advance nicely. Hare Krishna. Yeah?
Ignorance is simple
activity. Yeah.
So what happened
to
gopis
of Vrindavan?
How they were able to
directly get Krishna? Oh, gopis. Gopis of Vrindavan are not ordinary souls. They have performed all the karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, hatha yoga, all the yogas. And at last, when the Lord saw this living entity to be so pure, the Lord gave them the bodies of gopis.
they became gopis. After perfecting all types of different processes, then they became gopis. So gopis had spontaneous loving attraction for Krishna. And we don't have spontaneous attraction, we are taught how to develop that attraction. What we are doing is called sadhana bhakti. And what they had is actually raganuga. Spontaneous bhakti they had. So they cannot think of anything but Krishna. Like one time the gopis were in the forest and all of a sudden bull came with its big horns. It came running. Immediately the gopis ran to the neighborhood trees. And the trees they saw, they were tamal trees. They were bluish in color. So immediately they thought, this is Krishna. Immediately got all the trees and said, Krishna, Krishna, save us. Simply by seeing the trees. So wherever they turned, they saw only Krishna. So we can't imitate that stage. That was actually spontaneous devotion for Krishna. So pure devotees have that type of devotion. And they were born devotees in Vrindavan. So we all have to do sadhana bhakti and come to that stage of pure devotion. Hare Krishna.